So nice. You're all in such a good mood because everything is so good. Welcome to Love It or Leave It. We were dark last week for the 4th of July, but we all know today, Free Slurpee Day, for those who celebrate, is the day that truly celebrates American values. Slurpees, it's fine. When was the last time anyone here had a Slurpee?
Today.
Before today, when was the last time you had a Slurpee? Oh, so stupid. I was right in front of a fucking 7-Eleven. I really blew it. I would have gotten a free Slurpee. That is the price that I would pay for a Slurpee. Gratis. One Slurpee, gratis.
We still have time.
And that's what today's show is all about. There's still time. Tonight on the show, Marcy Jarro pits political polls against reality trolls. Congressional candidate Janelle Bynum gets serious about the state of affairs, and we don't mean the sexy ones. Great. And Jay Farrow puts his balls in your hands. Don't like how that came across. Then we wrap it all up with a big old quit fest. We're going to celebrate people who decided to say enough is enough. Just unrelated to anything, just something that we thought would be an interesting thing. All the wonderful people and things that we think would be better off if people had stepped aside. But first, let's get into it. What a week. On Tuesday, Senators John Tester, Sherrod Brown, and Michael Bennett told their colleagues during the Dem caucus lunch that they do not believe President Biden can win re-election. Everything important that ever happened starts with three sassy bitches talking shit during lunch. On Tuesday evening, Bennett became the first senator to say so publicly, telling CNN, "I believe the entire future of our country is at stake."
Donald Trump is on track, I think, to win this election and maybe win it by a landslide and take with him the Senate and the House. I think that we could lose the whole thing, and it's staggering to me.
Early reports suggest that Commander has already been given a shirt with Bennett's scent, but if he keeps to the waterways, he should be safe. Bennett stopped short of explicitly calling for Biden to drop out of the race, but said that Democrats should be having a discussion about it.
And the White House, in the time since that disastrous debate, I think has done nothing to really demonstrate that they have a plan to win this election.
That's a little unfair. Get a spray tan and rail at the elites is technically a plan. It's a bad plan and lightly plagiarized, but it is a plan. On Wednesday, Nancy Pelosi told Morning Joe that we're all encouraging Biden to make a final decision about staying in the presidential race. When it was pointed out that Biden stated multiple times this week that he had already made that decision, Pelosi replied with this.
I want him to do whatever he decides to do. And that's the way it is. Whatever he decides, we go with.
Again, Biden has said he's already decided. I think it's stupid that you need a literature degree to parse it. But the translation of what Pelosi's saying is, bitch, wrong answer, try again. Pelosi's like an adult playing chess against a child who just exposed themselves to an immediate checkmate, asking if they want to rethink the move. If she's offering you a redo, you've made the wrong move.
And I've said to everyone, let's just hold off. Whatever you're thinking, you don't have to put that out on the table until we see how we go this week. But I'm very proud of the president.
Let's wait until after NATO is a great answer to literally any question you want to avoid. Oh, what are we? How do we define this relationship? Let's wait till after NATO. On Wednesday, into the breach steps, of course, George Clooney, who published this op-ed in the Times titled, "I love Joe Biden, but we need a new nominee." Many thought this was one of Clooney's famous pranks, but he seemed to be pretty serious about it. Wrote Clooney, "It's devastating to say it, but the Joe Biden I was with 3 weeks ago at the fundraiser was not the Joe big effing deal Biden of 2010. He wasn't even the Joe Biden of 2020. He was the same man we all witnessed at the debate. As someone who was also not at my best at that fundraiser, thank God Clooney kept this editorial focus. For all America knows, those shrimp cocktail pyramids knocked themselves over." Said Clooney, "We can put our heads in the sand and pray for a miracle in November, or we can speak the truth. Me and George Clooney, two equally hot guys saying the exact same thing." Friend of the show, Rob Reiner, subsequently agreed with Clooney, tweeting, "My friend George Clooney has clearly expressed what many of us have been saying. We love and respect Joe Biden. We acknowledge all he has done for our country. But democracy is facing an existential threat. We need someone younger to fight back. Joe Biden must step aside." Me and Rob Reiner, two equally funny guys, saying exactly the same thing. I was at that fundraiser. I would say it was the Joe Biden of the debate. I think it was strange. He was halting. His answers didn't totally follow. It wasn't as disjointed. He was able to make points that were just seemingly offered at random and not really following the conversation. But the closest experience I could have to what it was like at the moment that fundraiser was over was after I went to the premiere of that last Star Wars movie, Rise of Skywalker. And Bob Iger introduced the movie by going, "They've made a truly dynamic film." And you're like, oh boy, that's not great. That's not great. Dynamic is the floor for a Star Wars movie. I'd hope it would have some dynamism in it. And everybody's like, I'm like the third overflow theater with a bunch of people dressed as Wookiees. I'm not there with fucking, Oscar Isaac is not in my section. But nevertheless, it is the premiere. And all these people are dressed up and they're excited. These are super fans. And then the movie's over. And everybody shuffles out in fucking silence. You're walking out of a theater in silence with Darth Maul and somebody dressed as Han Solo, just with this expression of what happened. What was that? That was what it was like leaving that fundraiser. But you tell yourself, well, he just got back from Europe. Maybe this was him at his worst. He was exhausted. It wasn't his best. I don't see Joe Biden every day. And so then when you see Joe Biden at the debate and they're like, it's one bad night, it's like, no, not one bad night. I was at the other thing. And that other thing. Several hours later, the Biden campaign responded to Clooney's op-ed by telling reporters that Clooney left the fundraiser way before Biden did.
And in response to those comments from George Clooney, Jake, a campaign official who attended that Los Angeles fundraiser tells me that George Clooney left 3 hours before the president. So clearly, the gloves are off, Jake.
What does that mean, that George Clooney left 3 hours? What's the point?
The point of that is to suggest that Biden's stamina is better than Clooney's, and Clooney didn't have, you know, eyes on the entire event.
Okay.
I want to make a point about this, which is, I think, obviously not the most important, which is, it was very clear when Julia Roberts and George Clooney introduced the event that they were getting the fuck out of there the second they got off the stage. You can't say you're hosting an event if you're only at the opening. You got to be introducing people all along the way. They opened the event. They didn't host the event. So it doesn't surprise me that George Clooney left immediately. Even Julia Roberts said, and then after we speak, I'll be back home in an hour. And she said, just kidding. But it's like, are you kidding, Julia Roberts? Or are you just introducing, you got us all in here, then you leave us for whatever the fuck we're about to experience, which included some dancing shadow puppets. It was a dark experience. Honestly, I was shaken before Joe Biden even hit the fucking stage. Jack Black gets out there and like improv some kind of a song. And then Barbara Streisand spent a while talking about how she named a wing at Cedars-Sinai. And I was like, what is the message? And then Barack Obama walks Joe Biden on to sit with Jimmy Kimmel for a few leading questions, like, and the harvests have good, haven't they, comrade? Yes, the harvest has been very good. Then they shuffle him fucking off. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? All right, we'll get to the press conference. I'm losing it. Then on Wednesday evening, Vermont Senator Peter Welch became the first senator to publicly call for Biden to step aside in a Washington Post op-ed, writing, "We have asked President Biden to do so much for so many for so long. It has required unmatched selflessness and courage. We need him to put us first, as he has done before. I urge him to do it now. If enough people remind Joe Biden what a decent man he is, he'll have no choice but to do the decent thing. At least that seems to be the office-wide strategy for convincing me to wash my dishes." And it's honestly really getting my Irish up. They're soaking. Without calling for Biden to drop out, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine also appealed to Biden's sense of duty on Wednesday when he said this.
"I have complete confidence that Joe Biden will do the patriotic thing for the country. And he's going to make that decision. He's never disappointed me. He's always put patriotism and the country ahead of himself. And I'm going to respect the decision that he makes."
Okay. Then Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer on Wednesday was pressed on whether Biden should take a cognitive test. And she said, "I don't think it would hurt." I mean, couldn't it, though? On Thursday, NBC News reported that several close Biden allies were now convinced that Biden had no chance of winning. They are basing it off of everything. One campaign official told reporters he needs to drop out. He will never recover from this. A lot of people said that when they saw me on the Survivor trailer. According... and yet here I am. According to Politico, six lawmakers said they will go public with their concerns about Biden if the president biffs at Thursday's press conference. Ahead of it, President Biden introduced Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky to the NATO stage. Let's take a look.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. I'm going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it.
It was tough.
Anyway.
It was tough.
President.
I'm better.
You are.
It was tough. Off to an insane start. It's just sort of a bit Joe does. It's like his who's on first. Had you not seen that? It's tough, right? It's tough. Well, so here's the thing. It's like, it sucks. Especially because he does it again. That was a spoiler. That was a spoiler. I'm really sorry. I'm ruining the experience. Honestly, the text chain has been popping. The presser was delayed several times from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 to 7 p.m. To quote producer Kennedy, every hot girl makes you wait. Right off the bat, President Biden said this when asked about Kamala Harris's fitness for the presidency.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she's not qualified to be president.
It's not great. And I think pity is the energy you really want to have when watching the American president address reporters. I will say, hot take, I kind of like the whispering. It's like he's telling me a secret I don't understand. Said Biden.
I'm not in this for my legacy. I'm in this to complete the job I started.
As for me, I'm here to clench my jaw so hard my skull shatters like a Crispin ornament dropped from a great height. Either way, he's in the wrong place. It's like standing in a Macy's and saying, I'm not here for the wheelbarrows. I'm here for the aquarium supplies. At one point, Biden's whispered tone dropped lower.
When unions do better, everybody does better.
Is he trying to seduce me? It's not the worst. It's not the worst strategy I've seen from him. It's not only that he's our most pro-labor president, he's also our most unsettlingly pro-labor president. When asked about his personal limitations, including reporting that he'd said he'd stop doing events after 8 p.m. to get to bed earlier, Biden says he just needs to pace himself more.
Instead of starting a fundraiser at 9 o'clock, start at 8 o'clock. People get to go home by 10 o'clock.
Okay, listen, he's kind of crushing in this section. When he's right, he's right. And I do believe it is time for Democrats to campaign on an issue that is getting more and more attention from me, which is early dinner. And I'm not talking about 6, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 5. I'm talking about normalizing dinner at 5 p.m., a leisurely 5 p.m. dinner. 2, 3, 4 hours to stream in bed. No nightmares because you've eaten insane food before bed. Technically, you can get away with describing it as intermittent fasting. Dinner at 5:30, it rules. Why aren't we talking about it more? Why is 7 the assumption? 7 sucks. 7's your whole evening. 5, got a night in front of you. Dinner at 5. Said the president.
And if you looked at my schedule since I made that stupid mistake in the debate, I mean, my schedule has been full bore. I've done, where's Trump been? Riding around in his golf cart, filling out his scorecard before he hits the ball?
Yes, it is true. Trump very likely cheats at golf. Why has Trump been so quiet? Because every fucking round of golf, he gets better poll numbers at the end of it. He's golfing his way to the White House. By the way, like, I agree Biden's going full bore, but he's going full bore for him. Like when an actor in L.A. tells you he had a busy day, but then you realize he got coffee and had one meeting. Biden also said this about his packed schedule.
I love my staff, but they add things. I add things all the time. Very good. I'm catching hell from my wife for that. Anyway.
Well, Look, we all love blaming our staff, but sometimes the joke you insisted on bombed. Sometimes you tank the debate you asked for. Sometimes there's no one to blame but yourself. Why is no one laughing at this? Because Hallie promised it would work. Unbelievable. President Biden pointed to Trump's friendships with fascist leaders as ample evidence that Biden needs to win the election. But he's constantly making that leap. Those are not reasons that Biden needs to win. Those are reasons that Trump needs to lose. When he called on New York Times David Sanger, Biden said this.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Be nice, David.
Then Sanger asked Biden whether if he found himself in a room with Putin again, he thought he'd be able to handle him one-on-one, to which Biden replied, there's no world leader I'm not prepared to handle, and then some Putin rambling. This might be a controversial opinion, but I actually think this is Biden's power rambling. Like, if this guy was trying to buy a car from you, you'd give him a deal just to get him out of the showroom. I need to allay fear, said the president at his first press conference in 2 weeks since a debate that elicited from his whole party an unending, blood-curdling scream. And we're going to do this 20 more times. We're already clenched. Biden then went into this run.
Control guns, not girls. More children are killed by a bullet than any other cause of death. The United States of America. What the hell are we doing?
My God, he woke up in the middle of a press conference. That must be absolutely terrifying. You wake up, you're at a podium, you're in the middle of a sentence. He said, we've never been here before. When you say we need to hand it off to another generation, I have to finish this job. I have to finish this job. And like you'll say when your 90-year-old Uber driver forced out of retirement says the same thing, good luck and try not to hit the recycling bins on the way out. In response to the final question, which is about his cognitive fitness, Biden said this.
The only thing age does is help you with creates a little bit of wisdom. I think it's important that if the neurologist tells me he thinks I need another exam, and by the way, I've laid every bit of the record out. If they think there's a problem, I promise you, or even if they don't think it's a problem, they think I should have a neurological exam again, I'll do it. But no one's suggesting that to me now. And I'll ask another question. No matter what I did, no one's going to be satisfied. Did you have 7 docs? Did you have 2? Who'd you have?
When asked if he thinks he'll be replaced at the convention, Biden said this.
It's not going to happen.
Mr. President, you're going to have to speak up. I'm listening to this from a deep well of despair. Concluded the president. How accurate does anybody think the polls are these days? All the polling data, which I think is premature because the campaign hasn't started yet. Okay, so that's denying fears. When does the allaying start? Does the allaying begin anytime soon? So what did this press conference do? I have no idea, but here's my reaction. I actually don't care about the little flubs, saying Putin instead of Zelensky, saying Trump instead of Harris, because you can see the train of thought. He's thinking about the other person. He's saying the other names. Those are mistakes we all understand. We can parse those mistakes, and we can make sense of what he's saying. The problem is not those flubs, though it's worth noting that the media is focused on them because they're watching for anything because this is the narrative. But also, the test here isn't, can Biden successfully finish a press conference without drooling and wandering off? And it's not, can he deliver a meandering long foreign policy answer that demonstrates his mastery and passion for America's leadership in the world? The question is, can he deliver a message? Like, what's his argument against Trump? What will change the dynamics in this race? Anyone pretending that this press conference resolved any concerns is seeing what they wanted or needed to see to avoid telling the truth. He doesn't just have to answer the age questions. He has to answer the age questions so thoroughly and completely, not just with words, but with his deeds and his actions and his behaviors and his convincing performance, that we can get back to prosecuting the case against Trump. But I watched that whole press conference. He's not doing it. So what are we doing here? Like, the people that were most thrilled by that press conference were the Trump people, because it wasn't so good that it changed the dynamic, and it wasn't so bad that it's going to accelerate some of these calls. So I think it was bad enough that some of the people that did plan to call on as stepping down did start doing so as we were recording this. It's been happening while we were about to be out here. But muddling through is exactly what the Republicans want. This is exactly what they want. They want Joe Biden. And we should be aware of that, right? Donald Trump wants Joe Biden. Donald Trump hasn't run a single ad about that debate, right? Donald Trump has been quiet. Why? Because when your opponent is fucking himself, You don't lend a hand. You watch. You know, it's good to know that even as we descend into fascism, I'm not going to let those pitches go by. In other news on Tuesday, Senators Sheldon Whitehouse and Ron Wyden sent a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland urging him to investigate Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas over tax fraud and potentially violating federal law by secretly accepting gifts from billionaires. They signed it with two lipstick kisses, which I think was a little unprofessional. Strange. Replied Clarence Thomas, I never secretly accepted gifts. I was very vocal about wanting gifts. If you are a billionaire and want to send me a gift, slide into my DMs. Included in that letter is an allegation that Clarence Thomas neglected to disclose a free yacht trip to Russia, as well as a helicopter trip to a palace in Vladimir Putin's hometown of St. Petersburg. Seems a little dramatic. A lot of people live in St. Petersburg. For example, the guy who took the briefcase of money from Putin's limo to Clarence Thomas's waiting helicopter. Also lives in St. Petersburg. Clarence Thomas really has seen the world. He's the Anthony Bourdain of eating out of billionaires' palms. I'll say it. Supreme Court justices have too much time off. We need to put them in some kind of a big maze between terms. Keep them busy and stimulate it. Ketanji Brown Jackson's like, why do I got to be in the maze? It's not right. I'm sorry, but you got to be in the maze. On Wednesday, AOC introduced articles of impeachment for both Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. Said AOC,
I am here today presenting these articles of impeachment not because I am a Democrat, and not because I am blind to its odds in a Republican-led chamber. I present them because it is the right thing to do.
Is it likely doomed to fail? Yes. But am I supporting it anyway? Yes, said AOC about the Biden campaign. Now back to this impeachment resolution. I just had to close the loop on it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm not sorry. And finally, a man was caught at Chinese customs with more than 100 live snakes stuffed down his pants. Actually, it's only 99 snakes, and I counted, said China's loneliest customs agent, petting his new wife. Coming up, it's the White House versus the Housewives with Marcy Jarro.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
When my mom got sick, she felt powerless. Insurance denied her meds. Her doctors talked over her, and they couldn't agree on anything. She kept getting worse.
And then you found solace for me. They gave me my own healthcare advocate. My advocate found better doctors, scheduled my appointments, and got my medications approved. She even joined my appointments and made my doctors work together. For the first time, my whole care team was listening to each other and to me.
I was going to pay for it.
But then we learned that Solace advocates are covered by Medicare.
I used to feel helpless too. Now I know my mom has an advocate.
Solace advocates are healthcare experts who've spent years helping patients. 96% of patients report better care with an advocate. That means better health outcomes, less stress, and finally feeling heard. Have Medicare? See if you qualify at solacehealth.com. Or call 888-7-SOLACE. 888-7-S-O-L-A-C-E. That's 888-7-SOLACE.
Don't face the healthcare system alone. Find Solace. Visit solacehealth.com today.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage your favorite parasocial podcast crush and mine. It's Marcy Jarro. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
You know what's wild?
What?
I've done this show hundreds of times. At this moment, didn't remember what side I sit on. And I don't think it's this one.
It is.
This is where I always sit.
It always is.
Wow. Good.
It always is.
It always is. You know what? Because this is my good side. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
Marcy, it's good to see you.
You too.
I've asked you to join us tonight for a new installment of a Love It or Leave It classic, Reality versus Reality TV. Because when the news is bleak, we turn to TV's lunatics to help us get through it. So here's how this segment works. I will ask you a question about your favorite reality shows as a way to get through the fact that I am going to share you the latest polling. That's right. So it's time for Reality versus Reality TV. According to the blogs, Phaedra Parks is negotiating her return to The Real Housewives of Atlanta. How should I, as someone who loved her in Traitors, approach this news?
You should be thrilled. You should feel blessed. You should forget all the other bad stuff that happened this week. Because if that's true, it's about to be a very good 2025. Yeah.
That's my project 2025, yeah. Seeing Phaedra in another setting. Because what I loved about Phaedra on Traitors is I can't even remember the doof's name. There was some guy that was part of her little group. And he tried to turn on her.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then she's like,
Dan.
Like, you.
Dan, right? Dan.
It's like, you TV numbskull. I'm an actual lawyer. And then she beat the ever loving shit out of him.
Oh, my God.
It was cool as hell.
And she is so funny while she does it.
Of the 86% of prospective voters polled who watched at least part of the presidential debate, 61% said they do not think Biden has the mental capacity and physical stamina to serve another four-year term, which means there's a correlation between seeing Joe Biden and not thinking he can be president for four more years. Is it possible that maybe we're all wrong and Teresa is a good friend to Jackie?
No! Teresa even said, I don't give a shit about Jackie. She said it on mic. She said it on camera. It wasn't even hot mic. She said, I don't care about Jackie. And then they keep posting pictures together.
Oh, classic Jackie.
Classic Jackie.
Classic Teresa.
Yes, yes.
Which one's Teresa?
That one. The one who was on, she was on The Apprentice.
Oh.
She went to jail.
She went to jail?
Yeah.
For what crime?
She went away.
For that spray tan? Was that technically? I don't know if that counts. I mean, it's bad, but I don't think it's like a felony.
Yeah.
Taxes. Yeah. Well, those are a thing of the past. In another new poll, Trump beats Biden 46% to 43%. And according to two recent polls, Donald Trump is currently leading in six swing states, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Trump is currently 7 points ahead in Nevada and Arizona. Why don't those states have a Real Housewives franchise?
Oh, well, because they don't have enough fancy ladies in fancy neighborhoods, I guess.
Really?
Maybe they do. I don't know. Like, where, like, I... You said those states so fast, too.
Well, is there no Real Housewives of Las Vegas?
There should be, though, right?
That seems like a no-brainer.
But who's rich and living in Las Vegas full time?
I don't know, but I bet they are kooky.
Celine Dion.
Well,
I think
sort of
honestly,
a tough time to do like a funny show about her antics.
What's another city?
What's another city? Phoenix.
Oh, no, it's too hot. You can't do hair
Scottsdale. Someone said Scottsdale. There are some rich, terrible women in Scottsdale. And they're terrible husbands.
No. This is why you have to think about how expensive will hair and makeup be in that kind of weather.
Right, but it is dry.
It's a dry heat. All right.
Those polls follow months in which Biden was outspending Trump on television. Trump is about to swamp Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan with a $60 million ad campaign. Can you walk me through how I know his name is Ohtani. He's a baseball player.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there's a gambling case that's connected to this season of Real Housewives of the OC, and it premieres this weekend.
Yes. Oh, gosh. It's one of the newer housewives. Her name is Jen, and she has a really disgusting boyfriend, fiance named Ryan, maybe. He wears a lot of
is that him?
Yes, that's him. You see what I'm saying, right? And somehow he is connected to this fraud scheme, pretty directly connected to this man, the
translator.
Yes.
Who's allegedly stole all the money.
Yeah. So the FBI is chatting with him in his little shorts, his tiny little shorts. He has a lot of, everything he has in his life is reflective, just like those glasses. He's a shiny man.
I fundamentally mistrust couples that look like this.
Oh.
There's, right?
Well, it's where are you putting your energy?
Right.
Yeah. This man is, he's, you should see what he, when he wears actual clothes, how bad it is.
Are those Pilates abs? Anyway.
those are like steroids abs.
Oh, yeah. Steroids. I never think of that. Oh, it's contouring. Those are spray-ons.
Yeah, airbrushing, you're right.
Airbrush ads. Those are abs from a can. Switching gears, 90 Day Fiancé. Why is it such a big deal that Nigerian protagonist Michael has made it to America? Isn't that the whole point of the show?
It's taken 7 years. Michael has been waiting 7 years to get to Georgia. And guess what, guys? Spoiler, he ran away pretty quickly once he got there. Because
hey,
that woman... That woman, who also loves Trump, would bring him Trump paraphernalia to Nigeria for the last 7 years. And she's just what you think she might be, but worse. And he was like, I love you, Angie. Angie, I love you. I love you. Then he got here and he's like, I gotta run away. Goodbye. And then he was missing. He was a missing person. And then he finally had to go to like the sheriff's office and be like, I'm not missing. Just don't tell her where I am.
So they're married?
Yes, they got married in Nigeria.
And then he ran away.
Yeah, they didn't get married here, but he came here on a spousal visa, but she's already like responsible for him for the next like 15 years or something. He got her good. He played the long con, and I'm proud of him. I'm proud. He worked hard. That is someone who worked hard for American citizenship, and he deserves it.
Yeah.
She's really bad.
Yeah, I do. She does look like if you asked like AI, like show me a Trump supporter.
I wish you could see a current picture of her. She had weight loss surgery, a boob job, got a Monroe piercing, has really, really fake hair these days that's very long. She likes to wear backless a lot, too.
Wow.
She really, and she has like a permanent... I don't know if it's like a cigarette burn mark on her lip that's always there, but she's a wild woman. Angie.
People just don't take care of themselves. Also, man, people who got the stomach stapling surgeries and all that, and then like 2 weeks later they're like, we've solved it with a pill. And they're like, ah, motherfucker. That stinks. You know, the last person to get like the tube or the thing, and it's like, you don't need to do that anymore.
Oh, I know. It's very...
That's crazy.
The timing of it for...
That's
for
tough.
Anyone who was doing it like 2 years ago. Rough.
Rough. Probably not important, but Hillary Clinton actually polls better against Trump than Biden does, 43% to 41%. Which Real Housewives franchise do you think Hillary is most suited for?
Oh, I think Hillary... she would fit in with the Beverly Hills ladies pretty well. Like, they're all tough talking ladies, but not going to throw anything at each other. A lot of the other cities are going to throw stuff at each other, and they're definitely not going to throw stuff at each other.
Do they still do Potomac?
Yes.
Well, why shouldn't... Isn't that DC based?
Yeah, but I feel like...
It's not?
It's not really. It's honestly, they go... It's a tri-state... that city
it's
is...
a lot of crab boils?
Yeah, they're going through Delmarva, the whole area. So, but she could fit in there. I just think that... Yeah, the Beverly Hills lady, and I think her fashion would work in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of big coats. Yeah. Even though it's hot.
Yeah.
I worked for her, and she always wore such thick coats, even when it was hot.
Was she very cold-natured?
I just never saw her sweat. She's always in a thick coat. And it's like, I am sweating... Because I am nervous. This Jose Banks suit is damp. And this speech is bad. Marcy, where can people find you?
Oh, my God. I have so many podcasts.
I would say let's go with quality, not quantity.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. For what we're talking about, 90 Day Bay with me and Nicole Byer talking about 90 Day Fiancé. And then on Ella's for Losers with my friend Jess talking about all the Bravo stuff. And the Kardashians still.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you.
Up next is Representative Janelle Bynum. And we're back. Please welcome to the stage the Oregonian who's gone and done it. Oh, that's terrible. It's Representative Janelle Bynum. Hi. Nice to see you. Thanks for being here. So, how you doing?
I'm excellent. I'm sorry. This is close to my bedtime. Like, you got us out here late.
You and Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So you're running for Congress.
I am.
You're running against somebody you've actually beaten twice before. Is that right?
Yep. Lori DeRemer. Yep.
And my understanding is that she's sort of a sensible person.
She's in Lori Land, which is in some other foreign place where, mm-hmm. you know, dragons live. I don't know where she's going from.
Gone full MAGA, right?
Full hardcore MAGA, you know, wearing a Let's Go Brandon hat with, you know, a big fat hamburger. I'm not opposed to hamburgers, but...
And you do have to say that now. Because they'll try and trick you.
I mean, I'm a McDonald's owner, so, you know, I mean, I'm not opposed to hamburgers.
Well, can you just tell people, because you've had a fascinating career that led you into politics.
Yeah. So I am an electrical engineer. I went to school and I designed electrohydraulic power steering systems at General Motors, my first job out of college, which is... And, you know, September 11th hit, and my husband and I were like, okay, this is kind of shifting. So we went back home, and I tried to find a job in semiconductor industry, and the industry just shut down. And so that is why I feel really passionate about kids having something to come home to. Like, you have these kids that have done all of these great things. They've gone to school. They've, you know, they play by all the rules, and then there's nothing for them to come home to. So anyway... now McDonald's owner, and then for the last 8 years, I've been a state legislator and mom of four kids, 22, 20, 15, and 13, and they rock my world every day.
So your opponent said a vast majority of Americans want restrictions on abortion, and I would be in favor of passing legislation like the heartbeat bill. When national news is consumed by this Democratic infighting, which I believe is like a necessary conversation we have to have, but nevertheless, mm-hmm. Do you find that it can be difficult to make sure that the people in the district understand that beside the personalities and the narratives and all the rest, like that abortion really is at stake when it comes to the House?
Yeah, so I'm a sports mom too. Love every kind of sports. You can look at me and tell that I'm not athletic, but I am very competitive, right? And so I think it's really important for us to recognize that this is a screen. Like, this is one of those plays where you make the viewer go, like when they trick the camera, the camera's going this way, but the running back goes this way. That's what that is. So people...
A screen, of course.
That's a basketball term, though. I don't know the term in football, but it's like, you know, like you're jicking them, right?
What?
You know how they do that? And the you don't watch sports.
Well, I mean, like, well, there was Usher. Was that sports? Like, in the middle of sports, there's sometimes music. Simone Biles is sports.
She is. But she makes you look at her the whole time. And that is what I think we should be doing. We should be looking at the issues for what they are, not accepting the screens that the Republicans are putting out, right? So it's a matter of them creating chaos, you know, dysfunction, fear, doom and gloom. Oh my God, the world is going to end. Our communities aren't safe. Trans kids.
They often do just
and
say
I'm
that.
Like, I mean, that's, they just go, and I'm just like, yeah, but you know what? It's hot as hell outside. And kids, my kid just the other day was like 97, 105 degrees almost. And I was like, Mark, my husband, I was like, Mark, I don't know if he should go to soccer camp. And he's like, these kids too soft. He going to camp. And I was like, so I got in my car 6 o'clock that morning and went and got some ice and a big cooler and some Gatorade. And I thought, you know, a couple of things could have happened. They could have canceled the camp, which affects working families. And that's a luxury to be able to, you know, cancel a camp. Or I, you know, would be subjecting him to some harm. But these are issues of, like, climate. These are real issues that everyday people are fighting. You know, we're in the house. Do we turn the air conditioning on? Can we afford the power bill when it comes? People in Houston right now are pissed because their power company is not saving them. They had an Astros game, but they didn't have all the power on for all the apartments in Houston. Don't get me started. It's the screen. It's the juke. The camera's over here. The running back is over here. And guess what? If we let that running back cross that line, and that's the Republicans, then we lose everything.
I would be so mad if I had to be hot because of baseball. Furious.
People are pissed.
That'd be awful. That'd be awful. Now, your district is a district in which some PACs have poured some money into it, right? Like, this is a district that's going to be competitive.
It is the top five race in the country.
So you're getting some attention.
And I'm such a shy person.
Yeah, no, that's the energy from that. Yeah, no, you're wearing a, just for people at home, there's a yellow neon dress.
I'm going to look good for you. Like, my mom is going to critique this. So there's that, right?
What?
I have a Southern mom, so. But yeah, you know, so the district, it is a top five race. I was retiring from politics. I've served 8 years in the state legislature. And I was like, you know, it's time for the young people to take over. You know, it's time for us to move on. You know, older people should get out of the way. And I, you know, I can guide and mentor, mm-hmm. and then it was like
pass the torch, if you will.
But I'm still useful. That's the thing. I'm still useful.
That's so inspiring.
We don't throw away wisdom, and we don't throw away people. And I am a person, just fundamentally at my core, I believe that everyone can be a vessel for good. I believe that.
Yeah.
Even bad people, because you can see what they're doing. You'd be like, you know what? I don't want to be like that. I don't want their message to get through. That's going to inspire me to do this.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. So obviously, it's on the topic in everybody's mind. How much are you hearing on the ground concerns from either the Democrats that are going to knock on doors for you or the independents that are going to be persuaded by the people mm-hmm. that knock on doors about Joe Biden versus Donald Trump?
You know, to be honest, I think Democrats should be honest about the question of fitness. Like, we shouldn't put our heads in the sand, be like a flamingo or whatever, about what the real issues are. So let's, like, talk about it. We do need a president who is physically fit. We absolutely need a president who's morally fit. And we know that we fired President Trump already, and we shouldn't let him come back a second time. We already know those things, right? And so, and they've offered us this playbook, Project 2025. Here's the sports analogy again, right? They have a playbook. When you get onto the field, every team has a playbook. What is the Democratic playbook? What issues are we trying to advance? And what vessel, which presidential candidate is the best vessel for our message and our agenda? That is what people are talking about, but honestly, it's hot. And they're not the chattering class on the ground. The people in my district are ready to win this seat back. They don't think that Lori Chavez de Remer is fit, really, to serve us well. She won't hold a town hall. I'll stand up to anybody, anytime, anywhere. Like I said, I work at McDonald's. I can take it. And I'll look farmers in their eyes, I'll look moms in their eyes, and I'll get my evaluation every single day, any time of the week, and I'll show up.
Given as someone who is an expert in semiconductors, do you think it's a problem that when you watch members of Congress talk about science in the committees, it seems as though they just heard of it?
I mean, I have flashbacks to when I was like 12, and my dad had bought us a Commodore 64, and my mom was studying like for her master's, and she was like, Janelle, the screens used to get hot. Everything shifted on me. And I was like tech support in my own house. That's how I feel when legislators try to talk about, you know, anything technological. They don't know what they're doing. They've never heard of it. They don't have any middle schoolers at home. See, that's how I get my information. I had a middle schooler and a high schooler. And just one more point, like, I knew the world had shifted was when, during the pandemic, my daughter, who's now 15, she was like, Mom, we did it. And I was like, what the hell did you do this time? She was like, well, you know, Trump showed up at his rally, and it was empty. We got all the tickets, but we didn't show up. And I was like, she was like, we did it, Mom, we did it. And I was just like, okay, the kids are getting it. They're two steps ahead of us. It gives me hope. It gives me optimism that our kids are going to be okay.
And what a great place to leave it. Representative Janelle Bynum, where can people go to support the campaign?
JanelleBynum.com.
So thank you so much for taking the time. You got to win this seat. That was really fun. Thank you so much. That was fun. We come back. Jay Farrow's here.
Don't go anywhere. This is Love It or Leave It, and there's more on the way.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join. Shop your favorite brands and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS. The list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the app. That's Rakuten.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage a man with a thousand faces, all of them Jay Farrow's. Why, it's Jay Farrow. Hi.
What's going on?
Come on.
The hell is up?
Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, John. Appreciate you, man. How you feeling, man?
Oh, I feel great. How do you feel?
I feel good just looking at these cards on the floor. Don't know what the fuck is going on.
You didn't know what this show was.
Nah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. He didn't know what it was.
He didn't know what it was. You know, when they first told me, I thought it was John
Lovitz. Yeah. That gets me a lot of people in the door.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. And I saw you. I said, Dana Carvey ain't going to be here. This ain't, it's a different show. But yeah, man. But I've seen stuff. So I'm happy to meet you, sir.
Oh, that's nice. Nice of you to say.
Yes, sir.
So you have a new Fox game. Okay. Things are going good so far. So you have a new Fox game show.
Yeah.
And it's called The Quiz with Balls.
Yes, it is.
And we do have a clip.
Let's play it.
What are the original last names of the Spice Girls?
Chris, I think you should go over there. I'm going to stay here.
Why do you get to stay here?
Release the balls!
So now...
I mean, there it goes right there. You saw what it is.
So now, just for it's a bit of a complicated premise, just so for people that understand. So you ask people questions.
I ask people questions.
And if they get it right.
They're safe.
And if they get it wrong.
They get knocked in the water.
But wait. No, I'm sorry. I'm just not following it. So if they get it right.
They get it right, then they last to the next round.
But if they get it wrong,
then they out. They get knocked in the water. And I suggest you, if your hair ain't real, don't wear it. Don't just, you know, if you got lace front on and you ain't got super glue, don't go in there, okay? Cause it's gonna be float. Now I know there's not a lot of black people in this audience. As far as understanding what I'm saying, but if you have a toupee, you don't want to go in there, okay?
Toupee, thank you for translating
it
for them.
Real talk.
And they get hit with a ball.
They get hit with a ball, yes.
Big ball.
Yeah, and it's basically get hit with a big ball. Lord Jesus, so much ball talk. You know, I wasn't comfortable at first saying it. I was like, there's got to be another name. Like, there's orbs, you know.
Spheres.
You could have called it the pit, just, you know.
Oh, you could have called it the pit.
Going down to the pit.
Because they get hit with a ball and they get knocked in the pit or the water.
Exactly. Or the ball. It could be the ball pit, but just
ball
the pit.
Right.
But you know, after I saw that check, I say balls as many times as you want me to. There's a lot of yes. That's what you didn't like that. I don't know why.
No, actually, I was thinking about it. I'm just glad to hear you being open about it. But so yeah. You get hit with the, and it's a big ball.
It's a big ball.
It weighs like 45 pounds.
It's got to be about, yeah, probably like 70. Probably.
70 pounds.
Yeah.
And again, I'm still having trouble following it. So if you get the question right, you're good.
If you get the question right, you get to go on to the next round.
But if you get it wrong, what happens?
You get knocked in the water.
Oh.
That's...
I think I get it.
You get a question wrong. Get it right, you good.
You're fine.
Get it.
But if you get it wrong,
you fucked.
You fucked.
There you go.
And you get hit by a big ball.
You get hit by a big ball.
And it knocks
not
you in the wall.
Mine.
No,
mine,
no.
But somebody.
No, but a ball.
Yeah, that's you got it. You
it's
got
a
it.
Ball.
Yeah, it's the balls.
Do you have a favorite game show?
Do I have a favorite game? You know what I do like? It's this show is like a combination of my favorite two shows, Wipeout and Family Feud. So it's like both of them mixed together. So you see, the fun of it is you see people get hit with the balls. You see them, you can't swim, motherfucker. And then you, and then you learn things. You learn things, you know? So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and if you don't get it right, in the words of Kevin Hart, you're going to learn today. That's what they had. Yeah, yeah, I had to throw that impression in there. Thank you, five of y'all, for liking it. Everybody else is just like, yeah, it's fine. It's Kevin. It's whatever. Yeah.
You this show some goddamn respect.
Yeah, it's all good. You can either love it or leave it. I don't know shit.
And you get hit with a big ball, and then you end up in the pit because you got it wrong.
Because you got it wrong. Yes.
Wow.
You should come on.
You know what? I'm thinking about it.
Next season, I'm for real though. Like we're thinking about. We're mapping out the next seasons because the show is doing well. If you don't know,
hey, this is, yeah, I think. Listen, the second I heard "Quiz with Balls" and you're knocking Midwesterners into a pit with a giant ball, if they get a question about the Spice Girls wrong, I thought this is America and that's a hit.
Yeah, there's a lot of Debbies and Susans that get knocked into the water.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Really
that checks out. Sandra is wet.
Sandra's wet. Barbara Ann, there's always them two names. That's the ones you really want to get dipped. Oh, I'm going in the water, y'all. You know, shit like that.
I like that they have to fight over which spot, because some of them they may know. Like, I know what a Spice Girl, but sometimes they don't know. They're I don't want to stand there.
They might not know. If they don't know, oh, joy to the world. We're going to see some water. You know what I'm saying? That's what I like. Just are you going to watch the show, sir? He's not convinced.
Just say it's free to say yes. What are you
free
doing?
Free is fun. You watch it. You said what? Are you Barbara? Is that your real name?
You're Barbara Ann.
Holy. Oh,
Barbara
shit.
Barbara Ann right in the front row.
I'm psychic? This is crazy. Hey, look, don't feel bad. Look.
I'm not from the Midwest. I'm from Brooklyn.
And your name is Barbara Ann. Wow.
It was my middle name, Ann.
Yeah. Okay, there's no hyphen, right? They add the hyphens when you get to the Midwest and shit. That's what a hyphen is.
If it's Barbara Space and Brooklyn, Barbara hyphen and hot dish.
Listen. Look, I think names are hilarious. My real name isn't Jay Farrow. If y'all didn't know, some of y'all could look it up. Look, what is it? Look, it's actually Jared Farrow. Look at Barbara.
Barbara's.
Yeah, well, it's not a special yet. Well, it's coming out, you know what I mean? But I do have a special called Jared coming out, but that's not my real... Jared's my real name, okay? It's white as fuck, okay? I got, I had white privilege before SNL. That's real shit. Yeah. I ain't have no problem booking anything over the phone, ever. Like, I would call up restaurants. I use my white voice, Barbara. I use my white voice. I call up restaurants. I'd be like, hey, Jared's going to be there at 8 o'clock. They'd be like, all right, see you at 8, Jared. And then... And then when I showed up, they get confused. They'd be like, wait a second. Yeah, Jared. I'd be like, oh, you thought I was white. Psych, too late. Party of 10. Ah! You ain't get catfish. You got blackfish, bitch. How about that? You know? And we're drinking water with lemon all night. How about that? Keep the sugar coming because we won't pay for lemonade, but we'll make it right here at the table in front of you. We really will. Yes, sir. Names are hilarious, John. They really are.
Well, I have often been confused for John Lovitz. I do believe it has gotten me restaurant reservations.
Yeah.
But I have another friend whose name is Josh Groban, not a singer. His name is Josh Groban. He's actually, believe it or not, a justice on the Supreme Court of California. But in LA, nobody gives a fuck. So all that he is not Josh Groban. But when you call the restaurant and say, Josh Groban would like a table for six, they're like, well, we have a room. And then he shows up.
The disappointment.
They're like, oh. Right this way, I guess. Still have to bring him to the chef's table.
Right this way, Josh.
Yeah. This is John Lovett.
Hey. Let's break it up, man.
In honor of your show, Quiz with Balls, we have a segment we're going to be playing called Takes with Balls.
Okay.
Here's how it will work. You and I will both have some takes.
That is not my body. That's crazy. Those ankles and those hands are Caucasian as fuck.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not right. You're right.
That's not my body.
It's good to point that out.
At all.
It's good to point out.
I'm working with a little bit more, too. That's a disgrace.
You don't miss leg day. You don't miss leg day.
I don't miss leg day.
So here's how it works. We're going to each share a take.
Okay.
If you disagree with that take, you throw balls at me. Just me. Okay? He says something you don't like, you throw a ball at me. I say something you don't like, you throw a ball at me. And by the way, we're just having fun here. This segment ends the second I feel even the tiniest hint. Even if I remember pain exists, the show is over.
John is not trying to take any balls to the face tonight,
no.
Okay? Whatsoever.
Not before I head home.
Okay, cool, gotcha.
I want to start with your take?
Yeah. Salmon should not be cooked in the dishwasher. It should not. Okay? I don't know. Listen, white folks, I love y'all. Okay? Understand from the bottom of my heart, but sometime y'all cooking, you be doing weird shit. Okay? The salmon does not get cooked. Have you seen this? It's this chick, she's cooking salmon in the dishwasher.
You don't need to do that.
I'm like, the stove, use the fucking stove.
Salmon's amazing.
It's right there.
You don't need to put it in the dishwasher. It has a built-in fucking thermometer on the side. That's the beauty of salmon. It changes color when it's done. You do it on the stove. It'll tell you when it's done.
It's the stove, okay? Stop being so goddamn weird.
All right, so
make this shit on the stove. Yeah, there we go. That's a hot take. It's a hot take.
There's more for you after.
Yeah,
let me
please,
do a take.
I'll
do it.
Please. Take. Okay.
I think we can wrap it up with gay pride already.
Oh, wow.
Okay, all right. You don't wait to see if others throw, you fucking cowards. That's what's happening right now in Congress. There was an Adam Smith who threw it first, a Doggett who threw it first, then Jerry Nadler somewhere in the back was like, I guess I'll throw it. There's enough ahead.
You know what? I don't know if I like the throwing thing. It's giving me January 6th flashbacks. Give me insurrection vibes here.
Just
hit him with a ball. Woo! Oh,
shit. All right. I'll do one.
What?
I actually think it's cool that there are bullet vending machines now. Okay.
Like, wait.
Why is it taking so long?
Slow motion. This is crazy.
Yeah, bullet vending machines. We're like, oh. I knew this.
All right.
Why is this so warm?
All right.
The fuck?
All right.
All right.
All right. I got another. All right, guys. I saw the Garfield movie and called me crazy, but I don't think that was really Garfield.
All right. Oh, Jesus. Biden. No, I'm not doing it. Women who do Pilates. Women who do Pilates are braver than the troops. I actually do Pilates. All right.
Wait, is it like an unlimited ball bag or some shit?
Like, they gotta be running low. They gotta be running.
Like, there's so many balls.
I'm glad we did this. There's so many balls.
It just won't
what is
stop.
This, Saturday night?
This All right. Is...
Sorry.
This is the lot. I know how the lotto feels. This shit's crazy as fuck. Okay, here we go. All right. It's not humid enough for me. Turn up. Wait. Yeah, let me finish it. Shit. It's not humid enough for me. Turn up the wet.
They're out. I think they're out.
Okay. Here we go. Wop, wop, woppity wop. Okay, there we go. Okay.
I think Drake won.
Oh, shit. Yo, hey. Bro, wait. Hold up.
They had some left.
Hold up. Okay. I have got to talk about this, okay? This is how, and I know y'all, listen, first of all, Drake is a very nice guy, okay? He's a very nice guy. If you don't know, he's very, hey, hold, wait a second now. Wait a second. But I was in New Orleans last week for Essence Festival. I came out of this, came out the car, fans ran up, let's take a picture. But they were listening to, they not like us. I said, where are you guys from? They said, Toronto. I said, that motherfucker lost.
He lost.
They were from Toronto singing, they not like us. They were like, they're not like us, eh? This shit was fucking wild.
That's not right. And that's not right. And I think that's where we'll leave it. Jay Farrow, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stop it. And we're back. The Democracy Rails tour is headed to the Orpheum Theater in Madison, Wisconsin on Friday, July 19th. We have Ben Wickler. That's for Pod Save America. And on the 20th, Love It or Leave It will be in Madison. We have some incredible guests, including Victoria Vincent, Thomas Lennon, Mandela Barnes at the Barrymore Theater. We have a lot to discuss, obviously, after the Republican convention. So head to crooked.com to get some tickets. We're going to do a quick final round. And now it's time for the segment we called, One Quit Wonders. Here's how it works. We're just going to quickly, just apropos of nothing, share something we think the world would be better off if they quit, or celebrate someone for quitting, whatever you want to do. Do we have a wheel? Hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
Marcy?
Okay, I think the notorious GRB, Gypsy Rose Blanchard, should quit. I think she should just go live a quiet life. She should go live a quiet life. You know, she's, you know, just came out. She's pregnant. She's hanging out with Kim Kardashian. She's doing a lot. She's and she has not had a break since she's gotten out of prison. She had that fire D with that husband.
Of course.
And then is getting a divorce, but kind of got pregnant pretty quick. It's a little muddy of who is the father of the child. Huh. Also, her first name is a slur. I don't know. I feel like she could just go live a quiet little life somewhere.
Yeah, step back.
Yeah.
Spend more time with...
As a fellow Louisiana girl...
This is the person that...
That...
killed someone?
That, you know, just ask someone if they might want to kill her mother, who would have killed her eventually.
Because I was going to say something, let's go back in time and pretend I remembered. If I had been confident, I would have said she should step back and spend more time killing her family, which would have worked, I think.
Although I've said it before, like, I don't think I could get a man to kill someone for me, so.
Well, not with that attitude.
No, you're right. I gotta believe, but I want for her a quieter life.
Okay. I do want
to never kill again.
Right. Should be achievable. Achievable goal. All right. Let's. We're running out of time. It's a fixed wheel.
Can you believe it?
Jay, what's your. What's your one quit wonder?
Theaters in England. That's why. Because they don't even have the nice, buttery American popcorn. They serve that. They either lame, plain Jane, or they serve it savory and sweet. We don't want kettle corn all the time. Fuck y'all. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's right. People, because kettle corn is not a movie food, because kettle corn is not a stuff your face food.
It's not.
You can't eat that. It's too rich.
You'll get your
it's
stomach
too rich.
Will start.
It's too much.
Yep.
You want a few bites. It's great. No one, you like it. We're not saying we're not maniacs. We think it's good, but we don't need a bucket of it.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
You go to Amsterdam every summer.
Yeah, not every summer.
Every summer.
I said not. It's a
not every summer.
Jesus Christ.
You don't go to Amsterdam every summer.
Look, that's where the expression you don't go to Amsterdam every summer comes from. Yeah.
He gets it. My spirit animal. He understands.
Let's spin. Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
It's landed on me. Here's someone that I believe should quit. And it brings me no joy to say this, but I cannot believe that Alec Baldwin is currently on trial for fucking shooting that person. It's a very tragic situation. And Alec Baldwin is very annoying. And the whole thing would be very funny if Alec Baldwin deserved to be on trial. But it's actually a deep miscarriage of justice that's ongoing, because Alec Baldwin is an actor, and you can't hold... First of all, forget the circumstance. You can't expect actors to be responsible for their actions. That's just fundamentally just a rule. That's obvious. But even in this one case, like, He's acting with a gun. The whole point of acting with a gun is you go bang, 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 right? It's not supposed to have a real bullet in it. The problem was that there was a real bullet in it. And then the prosecutor's like, well, he pulled the trigger while pointing the gun at a person. But, and I get that, you know, in the, you know, you should never actually do that. You can arrange it. But the whole point of a movie about shooting people is you...
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
So I think that prosecutor should fucking stop. That's my thing.
That's right.
And I also regret making the energy weird right here at the very end of the show. And there's nothing I can do about it, but that's the end of the show.
Someone, there's still being, I got hit with one.
What kind of freaks keep the ball? What were you waiting
for? He's got multiple.
What were you waiting for?
Somebody was like, ooh, a bag of ball. Yeah.
When we come back, we went on a high note. And we're back. Because we all need it this week, here it is, the high note.
Hi, love it. My name is Jared, and I need your help to have a high note for the rest of my life. My partner, Latal, is my best friend, support system, editor-in-chief, co-parent to two cats, and love of my life. We both really enjoy you and the show, so I was hoping you could help me create a special surprise by letting me propose on high notes. Latal is the most important person in the world to me, and she deserves a special proposal that will be a memory we cherish for a lifetime. Latal, I love you. Will you marry me?
That is our show.
Absolutely.
Come on. Thank you to Jay Farrow. Thank you to Marcy Jaro. Thank you to Representative Janelle Bynum. There are 114 days until the 2024 elections. Have a great night and have a great weekend.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Chris Lord is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus and Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, Will Miles, and Mohamed El-Sheikhi are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. And Milo Kim is our videographer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designer, Bernardo Serna, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroat for filming and editing video each week so you can. It's Love It or Leave It. Love It or Leave It. It's Love It or Leave It. If you thought Friday was the best day of the week, well, think again. Jon Stewart's new podcast, The Weekly Show with Jon Stewart, will have you saying, thank God it's Thursday. That's right. Every Thursday, Jon and his special guests delve into current events, from the 2024 election to the ups and downs of the economy and all the chaos and corruption in between. Jon and Tommy were recently guests.
Sure were.
So that's why we say TGIT. Thank God it's Thursday. There's no telling where the conversation might go. Listen to The Weekly Show with Jon Stewart wherever you get your podcasts.